Okay, today is June 12th, 2013, and we're continuing in the mitzvah. According to our count here, it's the 13th mitzvah of not giving from the Pesach to a ben nechar, which we translated as somebody who is foreign to the Ribbono Shel Olam, foreign to his fellow Jews. In the way he acts, Rashi still teaches us that it doesn't just mean a Gentile, but it means somebody who is Jewish but does not fulfill the mitzvahs. Estranged, there you go. Now, there is a difference of opinion as to whether it requires for Nechor to be estranged, to be someone foreign, whether it requires entirely distancing oneself from the Torah, engaging in a mitzvah, in an avera such as Avodah Zarah, which would be equivalent to all of the Torah, or just one mitzvah. And we'll get to that after this Beis Halevi. But we were in the middle of discussing a Beis Halevi, which makes a parallel, or points out that there is a parallel between the mitzvah of Pesach and the mitzvah that we find in this week's Parsha, very timely, the mitzvah of Paraduma. And that's because by both of them it says Zayis Chukas HaPasach and it says Zayis Chukas HaTorah. Interestingly, by the Paraduma it says these are the statutes of the Torah. The entire Torah is contingent on the Paraduma. And he, as we pointed out, points out that the Medrash says that these are two illustrious and special mitzvahs, in some ways more so than other mitzvahs. And the Medrash gives a mashal to two aristocratic women that were walking down the street, and you want to know which one is greater than the other. When you see one escorting the other to their home and then taking leave of them, then you know that person is the more important one. So here too, since Pesach, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Pesach properly, in order for all of Klal Yisrael to fulfill the mitzvah of Pesach, one, the Jewish people have to rely on the Paraduma, because the Paraduma will bring tahara, will bring purity to those that are tamei lo nefesh, that they're the tumas meis, they have the tuma of the ritual impurity related to coming in contact or being in a room with a dead body. And since the only way to be mitaher, to purify oneself from that, is through the Paraduma, so you see that the mitzvah Pesach needs the mitzvah Paraduma, and therefore the mitzvah Paraduma is greater. Now, what the Beis Halevi does is he begins to explain to us the significance of the mitzvah Paraduma, and thereby he'll be able to explain to us why the Pesach is secondary to the mitzvah of Paraduma, why it's somewhat in the same league, but also why it's secondary, and therefore, in the end, he'll be able to explain to us why it is that we have this unusual mitzvah by the Karban Pesach, this unusual mitzvah of not feeding it to someone who's estranged, somebody who's foreign to the Torah. So last week we were talking about the fact that the mitzvah Paraduma is very much in Chazal, very much related to the concept of the final Geula. We know the final Geula will be the 10th Paraduma, but we do find that the mitzvah Paraduma represents the final Geula of Mashiach. In fact, the Medrash that we mentioned, Paraduma Tamima, it's very good for this week's Parsha, but if you look up the Medrash, basically each one of those words signify another one of the exiles that we went through. And then at the end it says, V'asaf ish tahar, the man who is pure will gather as Ephra Para, he'll v'niach el michutz l'machane el makom tahar. He'll gather the ashes and bring it to a holy place and a pure place. And that ish tahar is referring to Hashem, who's referred to as Tahar Einayim. So it's referring to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that he will gather in all the exiles and he'll place it in El Mokim Tahar, a place of purity, the ultimate purity, which is the city of Yerushalayim. Then he pointed out that we find the Ramban mentions that Zayis Chukas HaTorah means, the reason why the Torah refers to the Parah Adumah as Chukas HaTorah, it seems like the entire Torah is contingent on it, is because it represents Torah Shebaal Peh. It represents the Oral Torah. And he'll show that there's a correlation between the Oral Torah and the final exile. So we said before that that the Parah Adumah is very much related to the final, not the final exile, the final redemption. Parah Adumah is very, very much related to the final redemption, and here he's pointing out that the Ramban mentions, and there's many sources for this, that the Parah Adumah represents Torah Shebaal Peh, the Oral Torah, and it so happens to be we come full circle that the final redemption will only take place in the merit of Torah Shebaal Peh. We mentioned the beautiful gematria at the end, Siyam and Mishmati Pada. Not for now. You'll have to refer to the archives to hear that in greater detail. But we did end off, this is on page 25, there's the last paragraph starts with V'hatam. Right before that, there's a Gemara in Baba Basra. It interprets the Pasuk that's found in Hosea that says, Gam ki yitnu bagoyim ato akabtem. Even while they will be placed amongst the nations, I will now gather them. And the word is yitnu, they will be placed. Actually, the Gemara interprets this, ein hagoluyos miskabtem. I'm a few lines above that last paragraph. Ein hagoluyos miskabtem ela bischus ha-mishnah. I didn't give my usual disclaimer that you don't have to follow inside in the Hebrew notes in order to appreciate this shir. You could certainly just listen and understand it, but if you do want to follow, you're more than welcome. But you hear this, amazing chazal. The exiles, the final exile, the exiles will not ultimately be gathered unless we have the schus of the Mishnah. It will only be in the schus of Mishnah, not Torah Shebiksav. Of course, that's certainly part of it. But the ultimate schus that we have, the ultimate merit that we have is from the Mishnah. Shenemar, and it quotes this pasuk, even when they will be placed amongst the goyim, now I will gather them. The Gemara Baba Basra interprets this to be an allusion to the Aramaic words, which is not yitnu, they will be placed, but rather itanu, if they will study. We know a Mishnah, right? Tanu Rabbanan, Tanan, right? A Braisa is Tanya. The word is tanu. Tanu Rabbanan. Kulaimar I Tanu Kula Makabtem. If they will learn, it's contingent on that. If they will learn Mishnah, i.e., Torah Shebaal Peh, the Oral Torah, then I will gather them. The Bischusa Esik Ve'amuna Bohen. This is the Gemara makes this connection to that pasuk. In the Schus, in the merit of Esik, and he mentions two things. Esek is the toil in them. The Amunah. Not just Esek, not just the toil, but the faith in these words, that to have Amunas Chachamim is very important. It's very crucial in the study of Torah and in the life of Torah. The life of a Jew is very, very much based on an Amunas Chachamim, on a recognition of the greatness of the Chachamim and also the accuracy of their Torah. And that's all we're talking about here, Torah Shebaal Peh. And b'schus that, it will be zeichet to the Gula. So far, what did we do? We connected, we mentioned that Parah Adumah and Pesach are very exclusive and prominent mitzvos. Parah Adumah is greater because Pesach needs to come onto it. We also pointed out that Parah Adumah represents the end of days, when Hashem will shech the Yetzirah, the final days, and so on. We also mentioned that the final days, the final redemption, will only come about by merit of the fulfillment, the learning, and also the emunah, the faith, in the Torah Shebaal Peh, in the Oral Torah, which the Parah Adumah represents. So we we have a full circle now as far as the Paraduma is concerned. Now, he explains in greater depth, and it's very important to understand this, and this is very timely for our Parsha of the week as well, and that is, why is it that we need the Asik, the toil, and the Emunah in the Torah Sheba'al Peh in order to have the final redemption? Okay, we'll be good Jews, we'll keep the Torah. Deiraisa has to be an emphasis on the Mishnah. We have to all study the Mishnah. You know, there's a whole discussion in the in Chazal and in the Mefarshim about the fact that Talmud Bavli was made specifically for our Golos. You know that the Gemara in Sanhedrin calls Talmud Bavli b'machshakim ha'yeshivani. It's a very, it's at times very vague and very not very clear on the surface as to what it's referring to. You have to really exert yourself in order to, and that was by design, that Chazal understood that they have to develop this body of Torah that demands, even to understand it superficially, it demands work, because otherwise, if you don't work hard, you're not going to roll up your sleeves and get in toil in Torah. You're going to sit back and, let the Torah. It's you're not going to truly live Torah. You're not going to immerse yourself in Torah. But here he says an unbelievable thing, and that's the last paragraph. The reason why, atam lozeh, that we need to have the Torah Sheba'al Peh, he says a fascinating thing. Yodua debayis rishay nechra bechet avay dezar. It's well known that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of the sin of Avodah Zarah. As I'll say, the three cardinal sins, but especially Avodah Zarah, idol worship. Ubayas Sheni, and the second bias, who knows why the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? Sinas Chinam. Yeah? Baseless hatred, loosely translated. So he explains like this. You know where that hatred came from? How did that hatred come? How come it wasn't in Klal Yisrael before? It's fascinating where this came from. How come we didn't have this hatred in Klal Yisrael before? In the first Beis HaMikdash, we didn't have it? It's an unbelievable thing. Listen to what he says. Very, not counterintuitive, but certainly not what you would expect. U'bebayis sheni lahaya zeh hachet klal. Rak sheneschadshu oz b'Yisrael kat hatzedukim. In the second bias, at the same time as this sinas chinam creeped up in Klal Yisrael, at the same time, what else transpired in the Jewish people that we didn't have in the past? Kat hatzedukim, the Sadducees. Yes, what were their, what was their theology? What did they believe in? They rejected everything in Torah Sheba'al Peh. Torah Sheb'Ksav were willing to keep. The written Torah were willing to keep it. The oral Torah, here it says, Shekirshu be'emuna u'bekabolas chachameinu zal, but Torah Sheba'al Peh. They refuted, they rejected the Torah Sheba'al Peh, the oral Torah. And therefore, Pirshu atayr kefi sichlum ativi. Therefore, they went and they interpreted the Torah according to their understanding. Unfortunately, we see this today, where people decide on their own, not relying on Chazal, not relying on tradition, not relying on the great sages of Klal Yisrael. We will interpret Torah the way we want it. Yes. There's a funny story they say over in the old country. There was a guy who lived out in the Hicks on a farm. And he was very ignorant, a Jewish man. So one day he comes to the big city, and the rabbi of the city says to him, "Hey, Mr. Goldberg, how do you live out there on a farm like that? If you ever have any halachic shilas, any halachic questions, how do you resolve them?" He says, "Look, big shilas I don't have, and the small shilas I rule myself." So he says, "Okay, give me an example of a big shilah." He says, yibum, chalitza, gerushin, all these kind of big shilas. I don't have to deal with. I got married one time, and that's it. I'm set for life. I don't have to worry about all these things." He says, "Okay, and give me an example of a small shilah." He says, "Well, one time, the maid put a slab of butter. The non-Jewish maid put a slab of butter into the cholent, into the fleishiget cholent, into the meat cholent." So the rabbi says, no. So what did you rule? So he says, well, it's an open halach and shulchan aruch. Tos akum is mutter. He quoted a halach that has to do with monetary matters, that at certain times when a mistake is made by a non-Jew, right, this is not your fault, so whatever the details are, it's mutter. So he quoted that halach. So here's a person who's, I'll take. Okay, this is worse. They don't believe in the Torah Shebaal Peh. They decided that they'll rule everything, they'll interpret everything in the Torah Shebiksav as they see fit. Unfortunately, what happens to people like that? Eventually, there's no integrity to their Torah, there's no basis to their Torah, there's no purity to their Torah. And where does the Torah go? It goes to the wayside. Yes? We're very familiar with this. Unfortunately, we've seen it so many times. So, through this, Al Yedei Zeh Nechleku Yisrael Lakitais. This caused great strife amongst Klal Yisrael. And the Jewish people ended up splitting up into different groups. V'nasu pirud ben alavavais, and became all sorts of different sects of Klal Yisrael. V'rabsa hasinava machlekes. And through that, there was an increase in sinas chinam. Did you know that the sinas chinam, the baseless hatred that caused the second base of Mikdash to be destroyed, did you know that that came from the fact that there were people who rejected the Torah Shebaal Peh? Did you know that? That was a chiddush to me. But that's what he says, that's what it comes from. V'zeo shegar machurban, and this eventually, ultimately this caused the destruction of the base of Mikdash. So listen to this. V'al kein tzrichim Yisrael kaidem ha-geula, and therefore in order for the final geula to come, we will need l'sakin oisei achet. We will need to remedy that specific sin. Shegarm lehem achurban, the specific sin that caused the destruction in the first place. Uhu akvira b'Torah Shebaal Peh. The sin that caused the destruction was the rejection of Torah Shebaal Peh, of the Oral Torah. V'alkein einam nigalim. That's why the Gemara tells us, interpreting the pasuk, that we will not be redeemed. Rak mischus esek shel mishneh. Only in the merit of involving oneself in the Mishnah, to huklau Torah Shebaal Peh, because the Mishnah is the general, it represents all of Torah Shebaal Peh. Now he says like this. This is very much in line with what happened in the first base of English. Kimei dehaya begalus bechol bavel, and similar to what transpired when we had the galus, the exile in bavel, the achurban harishin haya b'shvil avid nizara. The first churban, how come it happened? Primarily because of the sin of Avodah Zarah. U'mishimachi kaidem geulasam, and therefore before the geula, before the redemption, amad aleim Haman she'asa atzmei Avodah Zarah. We had to have a story of Haman where he made himself into Avodah Zarah and demanded everybody bow down to him, etc. Begam gozros lahashmid larig alabedes kol Yehudim. He also decreed to destroy all of the Jewish people. Anybody who retains his religion, and he won't reject his original religion and bow down to Haman instead. Ah, Vaidazara. So why did Haman rise up? Why was there the decree? We look at the decree on Haman as a terrible thing. Ay, look what Hashem did to us. Terrible. In the meantime, it was only for medicinal purposes. The Rebbeinu Shlom brought up of someone like Haman. For what reason? So we could rectify the specific sin that caused the exile in the first place, which was Avodah Zarah. So in order, if we would have an opportunity, like the Rambam speaks about in Hilchos Tshuva, we have an opportunity for that same sin, which is Avodah Zarah. And we reject the Avodah Zarah, now we have the merit to get back to Beis HaMikdash like we had it originally. Ki hayahem hayu tzrichim l'sakin zeh shegar machurban shelahem. U'mishum hachi nizgaber zeh achet. I should have the same paper as you do. And therefore, this chet strengthened itself. It came up again a second time. Kaidim gulasam, before they had the geula, ukishikiblu Yisrael atzmam b'mei Mordechai, and when the Jewish people accepted upon themselves in the time of Mordechai v'Esther, limsar gufam al kedusha shmei yizbarach, to give up their sacrifice, their lives in the for the Kedushas Hashem to sanctify the name of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So takeif achar zeh, immediately after they showed their self-sacrifice, nivna lahem bayis hasheni v'nigalu. Says he, so the same way you find by the first galus, by the first exile, it only happened because of Avodah Zarah, and therefore, in order to merit to get the Beis Hamikdash back, we had to rectify that sin. The same will be with the final geula. Why did the exile happen? The second Beis Hamikdash, because of a rejection of Torah Shebaal Peh. So the final geula as well, we'll have to strengthen ourselves in Torah Shebaal Peh. Here it is, unbelievable prophetic words by the Beis Halevi, even though it really started already in his day, but it only got stronger and stronger. In the end, there will be a tremendous arousal of this great Yetzirah. But in that very specific a rejection of tradition, a rejection of the oral Torah, a rejection of the Chachamim and everything they stood for. Like it says in Sanhedrin, Ein ben David ba, doesn't finish the words, very frightening words, but the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, you don't have it on your sheet, the rest of the statement, but it's Ein ben David ba, Achet ishapech kol hamalchus leminus, until everything turns into minus, into heresy. And what's the pasuk? Kulay hafach lavan tarhu. Where does it say those words? Tzaras. If he has a blemish, if he has a tzaras in one area, it could be tameh. But if he has that same blemish, which is really call it leprosy, right? He has that tzaras, the very same color that would usually be tameh, would be on his entire body. If it spreads his entire body, then he is tahar. Kuloi hafach lavan tahar. That's an allusion to the fact that eventually, at the end of the day, is the very sin that for which we went into exile, which minus will be everywhere. At that point, that's when the geula is going to come. Why? Because that's just, again, just like Haman, that's just an opportunity for us to strengthen ourselves and to redouble our efforts to dedicate ourselves to Torah Shebaal Peh, to strengthen Torah Shebaal Peh, to implement Torah Shebaal Peh, and to show that we absolutely have faith in the Chachamim and their greatness, and the Rishonim Kemalachim, Anu Kemnei Adam, and so on. And we recognize that we subordinate ourselves to the Chachamim. That will be the schus to rectify the original sin that caused us to go into Golos for this long Golos in the first place. And that's what he's saying, that there'll be such a strengthening of this Yetzirah, and that Kvir in Teresh Baal Peh, Al Yedei Zeh, She Yischazku Yisrael B'munasam, but through us strengthening ourselves, Yir Bulasik Bahach De Teresh Baal Peh, Yizgula Gu'ula. And that's why you see, till this very day, you see a strengthening of the rejection of a traditional Judaism, rabbinical rulings and rabbinical integrity. But at the same time, what else do you find? You find a mass explosion, a virtual explosion of Torah, focusing on what? On Torah Shebaal Peh. The yeshiva world today, how many tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people that are studying Torah, dedicating their day primarily to the study of Torah Shebaal Peh? Some people ask, how come in yeshivas they don't focus more on the learning of Tanakh? A Navi, they should learn Navi. They learn Torah, they learn Chumash, but not so much Navi. So the old joke is because it's a non-profit organization. But one of the reasons is because, not Chas V'Shalom to reject the Nach, Chas V'Shalom. In fact, we learn much of the Torah Shebaal Peh is mentions Psukim all the time, as we just saw. But rather because there needs to be, we're fighting the fight of the day. What's the fight of the day? The fight of the day is is the Yetzirah of heresy in the words of the Chachamim. So we have to strengthen that. We have to counter that. And the way to do that is to focus on Talmud Bavli. But in our case, specifically Talmud Bavli, primarily Talmud Bavli. So those that remain, when there will be a geula, oisim shenisharu b'munasam, those that will remain in their emuna, like the pasuk says, tzadik b'munasa yichya, he will end up living how? The tzadik will end up living b'munasai. And look at what he says here, unbelievable. Ikar anisayin yiyah b'muna b'teresh b'al peh, the main challenge in the end of days will be in teresh b'al peh, hepech divrei ha-tzedukim shayah b'mei ha-churban, this is the opposite of, to counter the tzedukim, the Sadducees that lived in the times of the churban, that caused the churban in the first place, v'chol ha-chizayin hazeh, and this entire vision, meaning that the Paraduma represents the end of days, and the Paraduma represents Torah Shebaal Peh, and we need to strengthen Torah Shebaal Peh in order to get the final Geula. All this, Kimatu Nira Borur Bechush, you can see it today, he says, in his day. You could see it very vividly, Ad Ki Ein Tzarech L'Raya L'Dvarim Halola. To the point that you don't even need a proof to this, it's so open. He was living at a time when the Reform and the Conservative were becoming stronger and stronger. Today we see this is the Beis Halevi, this is the father of Reb Chaim Brisker. So in his day already it started, those movements were already probably in full bloom, and there were cities that were, every city in Klal Yisrael that had any significant yeshiva in it were always maskilim, and there were always these heretics that were out there trying to grab the finest minds of the Torah world, or people that potentially would become Torah greats, they were trying to grab them and distract them from Torah. This famous letter that the sister of Rabbi Aaron Cutler wrote, and there's many, many stories about this, we won't get into that, but the point is, what he's saying is, and this we see it very clearly, that it only got more and more prevalent, and the percentage of people today that have dedicated themselves to the Torah to the point where they believe in the words of the Chachamim, they believe in their tradition, and they'll live by it, and they'll sacrifice everything they have for it, and they'll be willing to send their children to schools despite the fact that the tuition rates are equal to suicide. So basically, no, you don't agree with that? Right? The point of all that is, why do we live like that? Why do we do that? Why do we make ourselves crazy? All right, so you send them to a public school, and in the afternoon you'll teach them some Torah. We know where that goes. You know, that's beneficial to a certain degree, but it's certainly, so that is the self-sacrifice that Jewish people have as a whole. But what percentage of Klal Yisrael is doing that? It's I don't want to say it's negligible, but it's very, very small. Even of the percentage that claims to be Orthodox, what percentage of them are really committed to self-sacrifice for the sake of the Torah Shebaal Peh? It's pitifully small compared to the amount of Jews that there are in the world. Yes.
I think you gave an answer. The first Rashi of this week's parsha says why the nations, the Satan and the Umas Olam, they mock us. I'm thinking that that's for the Paraduma. So I'm thinking now I'm looking for the answer why the nations, and that includes Jews that aren't.
Why they specifically? Okay, beautiful. 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 Okay. Excellent, excellent. This will answer a lot. We're not going to be able to get to the next piece until tomorrow, but just to, I think he summarizes in that next little paragraph, he says, I'll call upon him, in the very least, if we regroup and we summarize what we've been saying, it's very clear to us that Kamei the Mitzvah Pesach Amdalav Eisenu, the same way the Mitzvah Pesach was the schus, was the merit that we had at the time of Mitzrayim to have a redemption. So the mitzvah of Pesach was the way we merited to have a redemption. So too, the mitzvah of Parah. The mitzvah of Parah, and by the way, Parah has a lot to do with Emunah. because you have to believe in the Rabbeinu Shalom and the beauty of his laws, because it's a chayik, because we don't understand it to the point, like you're saying, the Umas Ha'ilam, the nations of the world, deride us for it. So, in this schus, the same way the schus of the mitzvah of Pesach helped us get out of Mitzrayim, in that same way the mitzvah of Parah Adumah will be there as a schus, i.e. the Amunah in the Chachamim and in Torah Shebaal Peh in general, will be there for us as a schus to get us a final redemption. And therefore, came Shneim in Yonam Shavak Echad. They're very similar. Pesach Amdu L'Gula Rishayin L'Chol Ha'Guluya L'Chol Ha'Gulay Supari Medes L'Gula Achrayna Shebechol Ha'Gulayis. Pesach was the energy that we had and the schus that we had in order to get out for the first redemption, and Paradum will be for the last redemption. And we will explain this at greater length, Bez Hashem, tomorrow, and hopefully he'll bring it all together. Very prophetic, very timely, and very crucial words of the Beis HaLevi.